B2, number 9B.
What does that mean? See, what does that mean? That we can see that all that there is going on first is the translation of God to man. All that there is going on, if I think of it, if I don't think of it, if I dream or if I sleep, if I wash up or if I am quiet and do some nice pondering and praying work, doesn't matter, always principle translates itself to idea. That's going on. And it's constantly going on and says to me, you know, that which is going on is of the nature of soul. It's completely identical with the whole nature of principle. So that every idea is a reflection of this principle, namely a reflection of life, truth, and love. Every idea, therefore, is reflecting life, truth, and love. Every idea is therefore, that's where we stopped yesterday, is therefore life, truth, and love reflecting, is father, son, and mother to the whole universe. Now, give me just another little chance to explain it. That's where I left off yesterday, really. I wanted to show yesterday, you see, that these three orders, you can spiritually feel in its difference very easily. The moment you consider life, truth, and love in the three orders, you know that biblically or metaphorically, the Bible says life is symbolized by the Father, truth by the Son, love by the Mother. See, these are the metaphorical or even, I would say, mythological expressions for life, truth, and love. God was seen first to be Father, then Son, and then Mother. Life, truth, and love. In the world, life, truth, and love, where we ask, what is God? What is the nature of God? We naturally come to that statement of life, that God is Father, the statement of truth, that God is Son, the statement of love, that God is Mother. All right. But when we go over to the Christ order, we again have life, truth, and love. But they must be something different than Father, Mother, Father, Son, and Mother. Because the office of the Christ is to express the principle to the point of idea. Christ is that expression, that translation, that giving out. Therefore, here, life is no more the Father. It's the fatherhood of God. Here, truth is no more the Son. It's the sonship of God. It's no more love or mother. It's the motherhood of God. Now, there is a great difference if I have a father or if I have a father with a fatherhood. I can have a father without fatherhood. And it's not nice. See? I can have a mother without motherhood. And it isn't nice at all. But she's a mother. So can you see, we can't stay here in the world order and just see in our demonstration, in our prayers, in our practice, in our treatment, or whatever we do spiritually, that God is Father, oh, God is Father, wonderful, God is Son, wonderful, God is Mother, wonderful. If we don't feel that that Father is fatherhood in me, it's not a nice expression, well, it doesn't matter, but you get it. I want that life in the world as a Christ, as an expression, that it actually does express that Father sense, and it is fatherhood. So that as an idea, I feel, here comes down the Father as fatherhood. He is fatherhooding me. He is sonshipping me. He is mothering me. Motherhooding me. See? I get the feeling, oh, mother are not just up there in the clouds and waiting, and are there that I adore them and worship them and look up to them, have somehow a highfalutin sense about it, but that I feel it's coming down. The crisis are coming down, the descent of the Holy Ghost. It's descending, translating it to the right, to the point of idea, right to the point where I am, where my patient is, where a situation is, where a nation is, to anything. And that's fatherhood of God, the sonship of God, and the motherhood of God. So we have the hood and the ship. You can't easily say the sonhood, huh? But why not? We can coin that, you see. That hood gives the sense of the Christ. Is that clear, you see? But when you come to Christianity, as we said, in Christianity, the focal point is always idea. We consider idea because the Christ has translated go to the point of idea. And we take it over and say, all right, let's now look at the idea. What is the idea? What is the bigness of idea? That's Christianity, to regard the bigness of the idea. We only have a bigness of the idea when we see each idea close with God. That's why we have the semicolon. So here in the focal point is the idea. What therefore we get that if through spirit each idea reflects that principle, therefore it must reflect the principle life, truth and love. Therefore here we have in life, truth and love, we have the fatherhood of the idea. Not of God. The sonship of the idea. Not the sonship of God. The motherhood of the idea. Not the motherhood of God. This is a very different thing. It's a very different thing if I am in a Christianity sense, therefore in a society, in a universe, that's Christianity, when I regard the universe. See, Mrs. Eddy says one definition about God, which is quite unique. She's she's subscribed in Proverbs. She says, God is the sum total of the universe. God is the sum total of the universe. That's typically a Christianity concept of God. The focus is the universe. The focus is regarding the universe, and regarding the universe we see God. Instead of seeing God up there in the clouds, we look at the whole manifestation of God and see in the manifestation God. Just as Jacob said to Esau, when I saw you as if I would see the face of God. Or Jesus said, if you see me, you see God. You see the Father. See, that's the Christianity sense. If you see me, you see God. That's the Christianity sense. So that here, I get the feeling, oh, in every situation in which I come, in every surrounding in which I live, that very situation is reflecting fatherhood, sonship, and motherhood to me. And so because it is infinite reflection, you can see that what life, truth, and love here means is, let's first take life, that it is the fatherhood of idea, not of God, of idea. It means it's that point where I father myself. Where I father myself. Where I'm not looking up to God as Father and hoping that through the Christ he comes down as fatherhood, but where I take it in my own hands, as Jesus did in Christianity, and said, I'm jolly well going to father myself. If I would say it wrongly and not nicely, I would say, I don't care tuppence. No, two cents about God. I father myself. Actually, this is not expressed very nicely, but you can see that it is possible for Jesus to say, I have authority. I will come and heal you. That's the fatherhood sense he has. He didn't say, I will pray the Father that he will come to you and heal you. He said, I come and heal you. Well, how could he say except he has a sense that he is expressing the fatherhood of the idea. which naturally rests on the fatherhood of God and on the fact that God is Father. See, the third order rests on the second order, the Christ. The Christ order rests on the first order, the Word. Can you see? So, at the point of life, I see that I father myself divinely. That I father each other one. I'm father to each other. I am father to each other one. And he has idea naturally. The idea fathers every other idea. That's why I don't go to criticize people. That's why we don't run down people. Because I couldn't be the fatherhood of the idea life. Because then I wouldn't father the universe. If I run down the government, if I run down anything or anybody, I'm not expressing the fatherhood of idea. Of idea. In my consciousness, I begin to father myself by saying, no, see, oh, it's so terrific, you know, the thing you can't. First, you father yourself. Say, well, I'm not going to run down myself. If I always say to myself, I can't do this, and I don't have enough understanding, and I have not enough this, and I have not enough that, I run down myself. I don't express that every spiritual idea, which is a reflection of principles, therefore is father to himself. So I begin to father myself. Then I see that every idea is not only father to itself, but that every idea is father to the other ideas. Therefore I'm not going to criticize the other people from morning to night. I'm not going to deny their qualities, to deny that perfection from morning to night. Then I have not only that the idea follows itself, not only that each idea follows the other ideas, but in that infinite reflection I see that each idea follows me. And every idea follows me. That's quite a different thing than if I go into the universe and just feel I'm going into a lion's den and everyone tries to swallow me. That's the counterfeit of life. If I go into the universe with that consciousness that there is nothing going on but the infinite reflection, spirit, the infinite reflection of every idea expressing life, truth and love. The idea reflecting life. Fatherhood. And so it is with truth. Again, the sonship of every idea. It's there where I see, well, God is the sum total of the universe, therefore in the whole universe, in every situation of the universe, there is that reflection of sonship. So I begin to sonship myself. I'm going to affirm within me the whole sense of manhood. I become conscious of what I am, that I become conscious that I am man, that I know that what I know. And so we have the sonship of every idea towards every other idea. Therefore we affirm in every other idea the sonship of that man, the manhood of that man, the Christhood of that man. That's here what we have to do. And I also expect that the other one sonships me. He also affirms and establishes and strengthens in me what is true about my true manhood. Can you see this infinite reflection? And so with love, we can see that each idea expresses motherhood to itself, that we begin to mother ourselves. That's one thing that very few people do. They are awfully good to their flowers in the garden. They look that they have enough water, not too much sun, not too much shade. They are awfully good to those plants, you know. And then to the birds, the canaries they keep, you know. They are awfully good to them. And to the carpet. Are they as good to themselves? at the earth of the birth, and the pets, and the carpet, and the furniture, they are cleaned every day, no dust on it every day, you know, it must be clean. Are we as good to ourselves as we are to things that don't matter very much? Very few people can affirm that, very few. They always cross with themselves. Nothing is good with themselves, nothing. It's always not good enough. That Christianity sense has not been understood. That whole wonderful sense that each idea is actually reflecting fatherhood, sonship, and motherhood. It's consciousness. Actually, the moment we look at the mortal, we feel we are quite a dirty mortal. Just no good. But why should we look at the mortal? Why shouldn't we look at our identity? Because that's what the Christianity all wants to say. It says, principle says, all ideas are my ideas. And these ideas are completely identical with the principle. So man, as idea in soul, is completely identical in nature with principle. We can't say, I am a mortal. Here I name myself through soul rightly. I can't say here anymore, well, I'm just a tiny little dirty mortal. I'm not. I am soul, idea, you see, completely identical through principle. And therefore, in my true identity of manhood, of true manhood, I reflect everything, an infinite reflection within myself. What is that infinite reflection? It's an infinite reflection of life, truth, and love, of fatherhood, sonship, of motherhood, of the idea. And therefore, at that point, when I come as far through principle, mind, soul, to spirit, at that point I can easily love myself, have great estimation for myself. My mother always used to say to me, when I go away for a talk like now, she would call up and say, you know, she's 94, but quite a girl, you know, and she said, well, naturally she calls me Maxley. She says, don't forget what you are. And she means this, you see. Don't forget what you are. Oh, my funny expression, eh? Most mothers would say, I hope nothing will happen to you. and everything goes right. So she affirms always the right sense of man. Don't forget what you are. That we father ourselves, we sonship ourselves, and that we mother ourselves. Wouldn't it be nice if we would do it? You see, can you see another thing? Can you see how important it is to have these classifications? See, before you have these classifications, we are in danger always just to think about father, son, and mother here in the world as life, truth, and love. We always say, yes, the Bible always says, Jesus said always, I go to the Father. For God is Father. And somehow one sees that God is Son, he was the Son of God. Very little that Mother God is love or mother, but Mrs. Eddy brought that in. And so we got stuck here. And therefore we feel such rotten people. Because we have no sense of the Christ translation. That goes always on. That the Father says, I'm always expressing fatherhood. I never give you anything but the infinitude and abundance of life. I'm always expressing sonship to you. Therefore, I always support you. I always keep you. Love says, I always protect you. I always embrace you. I always give you the best of the best, the maximum of good. And then we stop and say, that's wonderful, but I don't see anything about it. I don't feel it. Because we don't go to the Christianity order. In the Christianity order we would go and see, oh, I have only go halfway now. I must go to the Christianity order and see that if that is true, what the Word and Christ order has told me, that I jolly well have to see that I am principle's own idea completely identified with that principle. So I'm not a mortal. I'm completely identified with, I'm named by a principle. I'm not a mortal. I'm an immortal, I'm spiritual, perfect man. And as that immortal in soul, I see that that immortal, I reflect infinitude, infinite reflection of what? Of life, truth and love. So I begin to father myself, to sonship myself, to mother myself. And in that atmosphere, we can't say anymore, I am no good at all, I have no understanding, I make no progress, and so on, and so on, and so on. All right. Is that clear up to now? Is it better? Yes, Emma?
It seems to me at this point that the Christ translation is taking place and is completed in Christianity.
Yes, yes. You see, that's quite true. You see, it's taking place. This is only, as I said, the message which explains to us that how. How is it possible that God is translating itself to the point of idea? But the outcome of it is the constant translation, so that the effect is an enormous universe of ideas. Enormous universe of ideas, and that's the sum total called God. Yes. All right. Is that clear? We go to the last column, the signs of order, which we have on the other side as that golden candlestick with the six branches. We have put it here in the last column as the signs of order. What does it mean? How can I explain it? First of all, what did you say what the fourth side of the Holy City means? We have seen, in the big sense, that signs, the last order, is always showing how the first, second and third order is fulfilled as being. The world order has shown a sequence. The Christ order has shown somehow a sequence. A process. The Christianity order has already still shown a sequence, but already has shown through those semicolons some sort of completeness at every stage. And now it goes over right to the climax, and the signs order always says nothing like this, like the world order, Christ order, or the Christianity order has ever gone on. Being doesn't have an up and a down and a spreading out. An up like the world and the down like the Christ and the spreading out like Christianity, because being doesn't know these processes. Being, it just is. We always have in the first, in the fourth, the interpretation of the world, Christ and Christianity. How does the fourth side run in Israel? The fourth side, she said, is Christian science, which interprets, see, we have in science, interpretation or understanding, which interprets the great exemplar, Jesus, and the great example and the great exemplar. Therefore, it explains the Christianity order and the Christ order, which is built on the world. So the science order is putting the first three orders all together into isness, into nowness, into instantaneousness. Can you see that? So that it doesn't convey a sense of sequence or process. There is no process in being. In being, just everything is. There is no process in mathematics. 2 and 2 are not going to make 4. 2 and 2 are 4. Actually, at the beginning, we asked the kiddies and said, how much does 2 and 2 make? as if they would have to make something. And then they say, well, they make four. See, that's the beginning. Afterwards, we say two and two is four. Because of fact. It's three. Now, the science order now wants to explain this being, how the word Christ Christianity is now becoming being. And you see this very easily, because in that candlestick you have really four separations. Can you see? First separation on the top is love and life. They are connected through the branches as something finished, as something complete. See? And spirit and love, truth, another, as complete. And mind and love connected again truly as something complete in itself. And the whole thing standing on the main shaft, on the middle shaft of principle, as the basis of that whole thing. So, alone, graphically seen, it gives quite a different sense than a sequence. It's no more one thing going to the other, but giving a sense of all-embracing being into one. And the only thing that the Christ order does as sequence is interpretation to us. A sequence of wonderful interpretation. Namely, what it says is that this being, which is principle, is composed, so to say, of infinite ideas. Soul and life, what does it mean? Soul, we have seen, are identities. It's a synonymous term for identities. Life is the symbol for being. In other words, it shows in being, capital B, in being, that's the whole science order, in being, there are infinite identities of being, small b. Now, these identities of being we could call the ideas of being. These are our factors. These are the elements on which being is composed of. See? So, soul and life says, there in being, capital B, there are identities which never change, which never alter, which are completely unchangeable, fixed, definite, which are infinitely living. They are living identities. So we can see, what now science wants, the science order wants to express is to give us first the elements of being, and says, my elements of being, says science, my elements of being are infinite ideas. The numerals of infinity. These are my elements. Just as if you would study chemistry, you would say, well, what are the elements of chemistry? That's the first thing we would start. Say, well, the elements of chemistry are iron, cobalt, and so on, so on, so on, so on, so on. If you study mathematics, you would say, what are the elements of mathematics? Well, you would say, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You would give the numerals, you see. These are the elements. Every science must say, what are my elements with which I work or which composes the subject? And so the science order says, well, in being there are identities. And these are the ideas. And they are living ideas. They are living factors. Then you go to spirit and truth. Don't worry, I come back to it. Then spirit and truth says, but these identities of being, soul and life, these ideas, they are not just there in being, static, as if they are just put there, nailed to a wall, so to say, and there they are, and you can look at them and can see what they are. No, they are constantly reflecting each other, spirit. They are constantly reflecting each other, always differently. And every time they reflect each other in another way, they show forth another form.